Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you give us a call tonight. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And certainly a lot of things going on in the world today to consider in light of God's Word. And then there's always questions about different things as well in the Bible itself. So hope you give us a call tonight if you got a question. 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on here tonight. Also want to remind you, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And we've got things streaming over there from our YouTube page. And like I said, you can go to YouTube and, I just tell people go to YouTube and search for our YouTube page by just plugging in Late Night Live or Live with Pastor Al. Probably the easiest way, just put in Live with Pastor Al. Or if you go to our webpage at livewithpastoral.com, you can click on a link. There's a link there for that as well. But the reason I don't usually give it out is because I guess it's something like youtube.com/channel/UCDRZHQ-JXIA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody can follow that. So it's easier just to search for it. So anyway, hope you'll be able to stay with us here this evening. And like I said, join in the conversation. And we're going to get started here with the word of prayer here this evening. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Father, we just pray you bless us now and use the program tonight for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ that are searching. And I just pray again that you would just help us to encourage people in their walk with you. And again, we just pray that we could bring glory and honor to you through the program tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, we're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis, host of the program and the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We'd certainly love to have you visit us there sometime. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road. That's Richfield's in northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland. Brecksville Road is right alongside Interstate 77 there. We're actually right where 77 the Ohio Turnpike cross. And we meet in the meeting room at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. Love to have you come out and visit us there every Friday night for a Bible study, 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. Sometimes we go on an hour or two afterwards. You don't have to stay that long if you don't want to. But it's kind of like the program. Whatever subjects come up, that's what we talk about. And then on Sundays, we're there every Sunday, our morning Bible study at 10 o'clock morning service. I'm currently preaching through the book of 1 Thessalonians in the 11 o'clock hour. And then every Sunday evening, we're there, our evening service, and I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs on Sunday evening. And then also a reminder that we have our Friday afternoon radio program right here on AM 1220 The Word from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, a half-hour program distinct from this program. And so it's another half-hour of some of what we do here. And sometimes on our Friday afternoon program, we tend to have a few more guests and things like that as well. So anyway, lots to find out. And like I said, any questions, just go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. www.thebiblecast.com. Well, a lot going on in the world around us today, and so much that we can talk about and start with, and we've got some callers calling in, which we are going to go to shortly. Do continue to pray. I saw an article just earlier this evening, prior to coming in here, that the Ohio Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, and he's from actually down fairly near where I live. He's out of Copley, Ohio. And he has issued a notification to all of Ohio's 88 county boards of elections to be aware of potential Iranian cyber threats. And this is because there's been a number of state networks across the country that have seen an increase in suspicious cyber activity from some IP addresses originating in several countries, including Iran, some of the other countries known where Iranians tend to work through those in the work that their cyber attacks. And so this is something that to be concerned of, especially in light of our elections here in Ohio, for instance. Our primary elections are coming up in March. I believe it's March 17th. I have to look at that. Let's see. I got a pocket calendar here somewhere. I think I can find that and confirm that since now that I'm thinking about it. But, the primary elections, people don't realize how important they are. If you want to say it's Tuesday, March the 17th, Ohio primary elections. And you need to be out and let your voice be heard during the primary elections, because this is where you pick what your party or who your party is going to nominate for the fall ballot. And, it's kind of like later on this year we have the Republican National Convention for president and then the Democrat National Convention. Well, it's kind of what the primaries are in a sense. This is where you go in and for instance, if there's three people vying for the seat for your party, whether it's Democrat, Republican, or Green Party, or Libertarian Party, or whatever. If there's, say, three candidates, and only one can be on the November ballot, and people in November say, who picks these people? Well, it's the people who vote in the primaries that pick those people. And if you want to say in who's going to be on the ballot in November, make sure you get out to your primary election, March the 17th, and note that on your calendar. You say, well, that's over a month. That's a month and a half away, practically, or almost 2 months away. Well, put it on your calendar and make sure you get out and vote in your primary election. This is also, Republicans, we've got one name on the ballot for picking for president. That's Donald Trump. But for the Democrats, I think you got about, half the phone book on there? There's a lot on there. I forget. I saw the official name list from the Secretary of State's office, and I forget how many were on there. But there's a bunch. But if you want to have a say in who's going to be the Democrat nominee, get out and vote in the primary, and then that'll be something that will be influential in who gets picked during the convention as the Democrat nominee. And so at any rate, or whatever party of your choice. And not going to continue talking on about the elections there, but I just wanted to mention that. Pray for our country. We are worried about some cyber attacks. The Iranians put a lot of time and effort into it. And of course, the previous administration, the Obama administration, the billions of dollars that they sent over there, the money that they freed up and frozen assets with interest, and then the $1.7 or $8 billion in cash that they gave them. Of course, former Secretary of State John Kerry said it was just a little bit of money. I'd like to get a little bit of money sometime, I think. I'd even settle for half of that $1.8 billion. I'd even just go for $1.8 million, I think. If $1.8 billion is just a little money, I'll take a trifle. But at any rate, do pray for our country. There are some heightened tensions there. And, of course, you know, several of the states that are the main hackers that we have to be concerned with. Iran's up there, along with North Korea, and then, of course, Russia, and then China, probably one of the top ones in my estimation. And so it's a cyber world out there, and we're participating in it right now because there are people listening to us online. And so we need to pray during these times. But any rate, we're talking about some other things. And first and foremost, we've got Terry from Canada calling in tonight. And Terry, welcome to the program. And of course, being in Canada, you know, your fellow countrymen killed there in Iran when their missile defense system shot off a missile, probably somebody, you know, jumpy on the trigger there, worried that they were about to be attacked. That Ukrainian airliner took off, 176 people killed. I think it was like 57 Canadians on board. And, you know, it's a tragedy by any stretch of the means, and it never should have happened. But again, well, you know, our sympathy there for your fellow Canadians.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, that was no accident.
Well, yeah, it was. They fired the missile. Whether they fired it prematurely or not, somebody set that thing off.
Yeah, and even if they weren't going to hit anything, they were taking that chance by doing that.
Oh yeah, and they, you know, they certainly tried to cover it up at first, but when the video of the missile taking off and streaking up and striking the aircraft, and then the aircraft crashing and exploding came out, plus seeing some remnants of the missile in the wreckage before the Iranians started trying to cover stuff up, they kind of were backed into a corner. It's like everybody in the world knew that they did it. So they finally grudgingly admitted it. But, you know, it's just an accident.
Hey, that wasn't no accident. We shouldn't have been shooting those things over into Iraq in the first place.
Well, you know, in my understanding of what I read about it, that airliner had just taken off from the airport in Tehran. It wasn't coming in. You know, the accidental shoot down story would be more believable if this was an airline that came in during a time of heightened tensions and somebody operating the SAM missile batteries, you know, was a little hyperactive there, overreactive, and saw it coming in and wasn't taking any chances. But this is somebody that just took off from their own airport. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think they should have stayed still. They shouldn't have left in the first place, yeah.
Yeah,
so that chance because of what's going on in Iraq and Iran, there was definitely something that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, wisely, a number of airlines have rerouted all their traffic to avoid Iranian and Iraqi airspace, and that's a sensible thing, I think, in light of that shoot down.
Yeah. Anyway, I just got through the Book of Judges.
Uh-huh.
And I've learned a lot. And I just got started in the Book of Ruth, first chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And what comes to me in the Book of Ruth is, or anywhere in the Bible, is you need to read it over and over and over again to get the whole picture.
Oh, yes.
And I'm in chapter 1 of Ruth right now, and I kept on reading it over and over again to understand what's going on, eh? And it's very interesting story.
Right. And you know, when you look at it, it's not only the history that's there, but it's also the fact that we learn from the things that are there. Like you just read Judges, and you see how Israel would get comfortable and at ease in Zion, and they would forget God, and they would just look to themselves and their wealth and their comfort, and they'd forget God, and then they'd get wooed after other false gods, and then, of course, God would turn them over to enemies, and then they would turn back to God. And they would cry out for deliverance, and he'd raise up the judges, the series of judges, to deliver them from their enemies, and then they'd repeat the cycle. And
they would even make God say that it's literally God that they're praying to. Yahweh.
Yeah.
And they would bow down to their worship that, but they were using that as an excuse
mm-hmm.
to worship other gods.
Yeah.
and so, went into all kinds of problems because of that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of very valuable lessons there, and of course Christians today do the same thing. You know, we get at ease, don't we? And we take God for granted, and the next thing you know, we're paying more attention to everything but God.
And that's what one of the things that the Lord said would happen, especially towards the end of it.
Yeah, the great falling away in the end times and all that, the great apostasy. And we're living in those days, aren't we?
It's getting worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the countries like Iran and Iraq and all these countries, you know, they all believe in these gods that can't help them.
Yeah, but, you know, in the midst of all of that, though, it's heartening to know that there are a lot of people coming to Christ in these areas. There's a significant number of people inside of Iran that are coming to Christ, and also throughout the Muslim world, in Iran, all the way stretching through the Middle East across North Africa, there's numbers of Muslims coming to Christ, and that's a great thing. And, of course, we know Bible prophecy. There's going to be some terrible times for that part of the world coming, but it sure would be nice to see a nice end-time harvest out of the Muslim world, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I believe there will be a revival even during the wrath of God.
Oh, yeah, and lots of people come to Christ during the tribulation period. In fact, there are times, there's portions in the book of Revelation that talks about vast multitude and things of people who come to Christ during the during the tribulation period. And, of course, multitudes of them will be martyred, killed for the cause of Christ during that time frame. But, you know, everything from the 144,000 Jewish men to the vast multitude of every tongue and nation to the finally by the end of the tribulation, a fulfillment of Romans chapter 11, I believe it is, where it talks about the Jewish people as a whole embracing Christ. And you see that also, I believe it's in Zechariah chapter 12, where they look upon him whom they had pierced. And that's a reference to the Jewish people during the tribulation period toward the end of it, when they see the Lord come back and they begin embracing him as their Messiah. And that's where Romans 11 talks about all of Israel being saved. And so
right now, you know, because of what they believe in, that all the things that are going to come upon them because of their disobedience.
Well, and it's a case of getting them to recognize that the Messiah that they're waiting for has already come.
Yeah, these guys here in London, they only believe in the first five. They're Jewish sect, and they only believe in the first five books of the Bible.
Yeah, and you know, there's a whole lot more of the Bible than just the first five.
Yeah, no, and. But, you know, they encouraged me. They're the ones that actually, the guy that's in charge, that's in charge, the rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
He encouraged me to, without realizing that, he encouraged me to study the Word of God, to study those first five books of the Bible.
Oh, yeah. And
because he says, you don't even know these books,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to tell me, you know, about Jesus?
Yeah. And, you know, I said there's a lot more than just the first five, but those first five, especially the book of Genesis, and then probably next in order would be Exodus, are foundational to the rest of the Scripture, Old and New Testament. And you really cannot understand the rest of the Bible, Old and New Testament, unless you understand the first five books, especially Genesis and Exodus. So it's, you know, unfortunately, there's some Christians who think that the Old Testament has no purpose for us today, and that's complete nonsense. That's, you know, we want the whole counsel of God, and the New Testament reveals what is indicated to us in the Old Testament, you know, so and also opens up much of what's in the Old Testament as a commentary on the Old Testament many times. And so it's also to be able to see the prophecies of the coming Messiah fulfilled in the person of Christ in the New Testament that also supports the authenticity of the Old Testament and also the authenticity of the other prophecies regarding the latter days that have not yet been fulfilled yet. So it's an exciting thing to read. And I think we lost our callers. In fact, we lost all our callers. Sorry about that. I was listening. We had Terry there, and I realized he wasn't there all of a sudden. Yeah, we lost all of our callers there. Yeah, we were. We had a technical glitch on the board, I think. If you were on hold, and we had about three or four people on hold, I think, and just give us a call back. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Talking with Terry there about the importance of the Old Testament. And next thing I knew, it sounded like there was nobody there. And I looked away from the board, and they were all gone. So, hey, this is live radio. So, yeah. So if you had just tried to call in a few minutes ago when you were waiting on hold, give us a call back. 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Whatever happened, we lost all of our callers on the board. So you can get back in with us. But about the importance of the Old Testament there, and I think we've got Terry back. Terry. Yep. Glad to get you back. We lost you there some. In fact, everybody on the board just disappeared. We had about three or four people on the board, and they all just disappeared.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, I heard a weird noise, a real weird sound. But anyway, we were in the Old Testament, and the importance. I forgot our train of thought.
we were talking about just different things. And it reminded me, I read an article here, which I just happened to find while we were trying to get some of our callers back. There's an article that's out in, it come from the ChristianHeadlines.com, which is, it's a good site. It's a good site. Now, if you're familiar with this or not, ChristianHeadlines.com. And they've got an article here, "The Rock Where the Ark of the Covenant Rested May Have Been Unearthed." And this was published actually in December. I just found it here just recently. And they uncovered a temple-like structure in a large rock that they initially thought was a pillar that had fallen down and rested on two other rocks. But they later realized this was actually like a large table-like structure. And they got to looking at it, and they believe that it's inside of a structure that they now believe was a tabernacle for the Ark of the Covenant, and that this rock was where the Ark rested. Remember in 1 Samuel chapters 4 and 5, it tells of the Philistines capturing the Ark of the Covenant, remember? And they took it, and then God plagued them. And in 1 Samuel chapter 6, they returned the Ark back, and it arrived in Beth Shemesh. And they looked up, and they saw that the Ark had stopped by a large rock. And I'm just paraphrasing this real quick because we only just got a couple minutes before the break here. And they cut up the cart, the wood of the cart, sacrificed the cows that pulled it as a burnt offering, and they took the ark and they put it on this large rock that's there in Beth Shemesh, and they believe that this is what they found. And there's evidence to indicate that this was used as a place of worship, which it was, of course, until David finally came David came and removed the ark and brought it up to toward Jerusalem. So, these things that are in the Old Testament are being revealed all the time through archaeology and other means. So it's great to see this sort of stuff.
Well, hopefully people believe that that's, what it is, eh? Believe in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is, but it all leads to Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, like I said, it's a good website, christianheadlines.com. I recommend it. You get a lot of good articles there, some things that are happening. So I encourage people to check that out. Well, Terry, again, praying for your fellow Canadians there, and I know a lot of families have been affected by that that airliner being shot down in Iran, and certainly our hearts and prayers go out to them. And thank you for your call here tonight. I know we're coming up on the break here, and we'll
one
pick
thing you. I could say before,
yes, sir.
Just say that I've been learning a lot of things from this guy named Tom Bradford. Not taken away from you, but he's a teacher, eh? And he's, I've been reading along with him and learning, you know, that's how I've been learning things more than before because of that, eh?
Yeah, Paul wrote in one of his epistles that he gave some pastors and teachers, and teaching is one of the things that God has given gifts to people to be able to teach, to be able to explain Scripture, help people to understand it. And just like the Ethiopian eunuch, remember when Philip asked him, do you understand what you know who he's talking about here? When he's reading in Isaiah, I think it had been about what we would call Isaiah 53 today. And he said, how can I except some man explain it to me? And of course, that's the purpose of a teacher, to help explain.
He was under a teacher too.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Gaius was it?
I'm not sure on that right at the moment.
He was first Paul was under the leadership of another guy.
Yeah, he had a couple of teachers there too at different times, but so at any rate, thank you for the call tonight, Terry. I appreciate that. And you take care up there. Stay warm. You got some cold air coming through here. And we're going to take a break here in just a little bit. And we've got another half hour of the program to go here tonight. And we're going to pick up with our other callers. We've got at least one of our callers back. And we will take, I think that's Nancy that's waiting. We'll take her after the break. So, Nancy, if you're there, hang on. We'll get to you in just a few minutes here after the break. And I hope you'll stick with us. We've got another half hour to go. We go to about midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Stay tuned. Don't go away. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. Our telephone number is toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to have you join us tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And again, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can find us there as well. Well, we are going to, without any further ado, actually one more ado, I guess, before we do have a further ado, wanted a reminder that not only brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you've never been to East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, well, give them a call and mention that you heard about them right here on Live with Pastor Al, and you can get a medium one-topping pizza if you're for just $5 if you're a first-time visitor there. All right, that's East Coast Pizza, Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. We're going to get back to our program here, and hopefully the caller board will cooperate this half hour. Looks like things are going well, and Nancy is waiting patiently for us. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you for taking my call. Thank you. Good evening. My question is regarding Satan and God, who has the most power? And I'm thinking of 1 John 4:4. This is the last half of the verse.
Okay, you said 1 John 4:4. All right, let me get turned over there. Oops. Here we are, 1 John.
Yeah, just the last half of the verse. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, they're talking about, you know, God is in you.
Mm-hmm.
Satan can't conquer you, because if God is in you and you're obedient, he will, you know, help you. But then they talk. Then I read in the Bible that Satan is the prince and power of the air. That he's sort of like he's like in charge of the world. Now, if God is greater than Satan, how in the world can Satan have more, you know, be in charge of the earth? I don't think I'm explaining this correctly, but maybe you get the idea of what I'm trying to ask.
Well, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about here, because obviously the simple answer is that obviously God is the greater, because for one thing, God created Lucifer, and Lucifer is the one who fell into the sin of pride, and his heart was lifted up, and then he desired not only to be like God, but also to replace God. And so he then became the devil, and it's indicated in the scriptures that a number of other angels followed him in rebellion against mm-hmm. God, and they became mm-hmm. the fallen angels or the unclean spirits, the devils. We use the term demons. Devil's really a more accurate term, but we understand when people use the term mm-hmm. demons, that's what they're talking about. And so as created beings, and the devil himself as a created being, obviously he is a being that is limited in power and ability. He can only, for instance, he can only be in one place. If he was sitting on your doorstep, he can't be on my doorstep. Now, he might be able to go from your doorstep to my doorstep a lot faster than you or I could, but he can only be in one place at one time. And you know, it always amazes me how many people, they're absolutely convinced Satan himself is the one that's responsible for what's going on in their life. And since Satan can only be in one place at a time, I rather think that he's probably going after bigger fish than you and me. Now, there's legions of other devils, fallen angels, that he can task with the purpose of going after you and me. And, you know, Paul indicated in Ephesians 6 about, you know, powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places there. And also, I think it's Daniel chapter 10, we get a glimpse into some of the spiritual battles behind the scene with angels, the holy angels fighting in the against the fallen angels who are trying to prevent God's work from being done. And it becomes pretty apparent that there are orders where some of the fallen angels and some of the holy angels are stronger in power and might than some of the others. And it would appear that Satan, as you know, Lucifer before he fell, was probably the most powerful of the angels that God created. And then people would generally assume that Michael the archangel is the next most powerful angel that God created. And then some people would say maybe it's the other way around, but regardless, they're obviously a lot more powerful than we are, but still they pale compared to God. So yeah, where you rightly read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number verse number four, where he said, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. When you look at the whole verse, he says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, meaning you've overcome the spirits of Antichrist that are in the world already, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So that's a reference to the fact that when you trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God is in you, takes up residence in you immediately upon putting your faith in Christ as your Savior. You don't have to beg and plead and fast and pray and throw yourself on the altar and just cry out for God to send His Spirit to you. When you get saved, He seals us with the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And so He is in us. Now, Paul warns in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, this is a good corollary to 1 John 4:4, 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so we see this title given to Satan as the God of this world, because what happened in the Garden of Eden is Adam was given sovereignty over the world to make decisions, to do things, to carry out work that God tasked him with. And he did it under the authority of God himself. But when he disobeyed, basically what he did is he threw in his allegiance from God to the devil. And essentially he made the devil his sovereign. And that's the problem. And the devil, of course, was cast down from his position in heaven as the anointed cherub which covereth, the Bible says. And one of the things he did is he reflected the glory of God, I believe, hovering over the throne of God. In Revelation 4, you have that great picture of the four angelic beings, creatures that are circling the throne of God, crying, holy, holy, holy. And it would appear that Lucifer hovered over the throne and reflected his glory. And when he sinned, he lost that position, and he was cast down to the earth, and he is carrying out his purposes here on earth. So he has a level of authority, a level of power that God allows him to have. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness after being baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan? He went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days, I believe it was. And then the devil appeared to him and tempted him several ways. One of the ways that he tempted him, of course, was, you know, hey, you're hungry, turn the bread, the rocks into bread. And Jesus resisted him with the scripture in each time. And there's various things, you know, throw yourself off the temple and the angels will bear you up and all that. And but the one was interesting was he takes him on a high mountain. He shows him the nations of the earth. And the way that that's written, it almost sounds like it may be that he gave him an overview of what the nations of the earth were and what they would be like. And on however the details of that worked out, he said, I'll give you all of these if you'll bow down and worship me. And, of course, Jesus wouldn't do that because we're only to worship the Lord God. It's the first of the commandments in the Ten Commandments. But you know what's interesting is that Jesus did not rebuke Satan for offering him the nations of the world. The only thing he rebuked him for was offering him or asking him to worship him. And I think I got that right here. It's Matthew chapter 4, and yes, here it is. It says in verse 8, and I thought this would be good to read because it goes along with what you're asking, I think. And again, the devil taketh him up an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. This is Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Now verse 9. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came ministered unto him. But you notice, he only rebuked him on the worship part. He never rebuked him for offering the kingdoms. What's that?
Well, don't you think the devil had a lot of nerve, as if he had more power than Jesus?
Well, yeah, and, you know, the devil, in a sense, is... Yeah, he's a very pathetic creature because, you know, he knows that he can't defeat God, but yet he has to try because that's the only hope he has, in a sense.
Well,
because
he had pride. He had the sin of pride.
Yeah.
He was exhibiting his pride,
yeah,
you know, big time there.
but see, if he could get Jesus to sin, then that would, in effect, destroy God because God is without sin.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a hopeless thing. It can't happen. It just can't happen. But yet he has to attempt the impossible because he knows what his fate is. I'm sorry. Let me check my connection here. I was missing you.
You know, just imagining things that could never happen. You know, really.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the devil is he acts like he has more power, and he tries to get us to think that he has more power.
Uh-huh.
And he tries to fool us. He goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But in reality, he does not have the power. He's on a leash. He can only go so far. Remember when the devil came to God and asked permission to afflict Job in Job chapter 1?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and basically he told God, he said, well, you've been protecting him. And essentially, he tried to get at Job and couldn't. He could only go so far, and then God gave him permission to go so far in touching Job, but not to touch him personally, take away his wealth, his kids, and all that. And then he comes a second time in Job chapter 2, and he says, well, you know, you're protecting him. He'd give anything as long as he keeps his health. And then God said, well, you can go, you can touch him physically, but you can't kill him. Devil would have killed him if he could, but he couldn't, because he was limited.
Yeah.
So...
Thank you.
Yeah.
You explained that very well.
But he wants us to think he's more powerful than he is. So.
And, you know, that's sort of like the people that are, you know, run by Satan. They act like they have more power than they do.
Well, and there's, yeah, and there's a lot of people running around. It's an element of pride themselves. Oh, Satan's afraid of me. The devils are afraid of me. No, they're not. They're more powerful than we are. The weakest ones are more powerful than we are. But, hey, in the resurrection body, though, we'll be more powerful. So we don't, but we're not there yet. So it's a matter of pride sometimes, and pride's a pretty serious business. It got the devil in trouble and caused these problems that we have now. Hey, Nancy, I've got another caller waiting for me too. I'm just looking at the clock there.
Thank you very much for explaining that.
Oh yeah, that's a good question, it's a good question, and we need to remember: greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. If you're saved, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit of God is in you, and He is greater than the God of this world. So thanks for bringing that up for us tonight, Nancy.
Okay, God bless.
God bless. Thanks again. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we have got John calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program.
Yes, hello. How are you tonight?
I am doing well, John. How about yourself?
Good. I had a question about Matthew 22:8-14.
Matthew 22? Let me get turned over there. Matthew chapter 22, and what verse did you say?
8-14.
All right, Matthew 22, and let's see, we're coming in verse number 8. This is where, okay, we're...
I won't have you read the whole thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're covering two things here. Two different, yeah. Because
the started eight.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I was just looking on the wrong page. Never mind. Yeah, you're correct. Starting in verse 8 there, the wedding that's there. All right.
And he goes on to explain about the parable of the kingdom, and it's the marriage of the king's son. And verse 8, it says the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. So he says, go into the highway, and as many you find bid to come to the marriage. And then in verse 11, it says, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how comest thou in not having a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. And then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mm-hmm. For many are called, but few are chosen.
Right.
I was going to ask you, what is the wedding garment?
Well, I believe the wedding garment there is the garments of salvation. You can see let me hold your finger there in Matthew. When you go over to Romans chapter 3, let me get turned over here. Romans chapter 3, and let's see. As you come down in Romans chapter 3, it says in verse number, hold on a minute here. Romans chapter 3, verse number, I'm looking for the start of the sentence. It's a long sentence. Starts in verse number 21. It says, but now the righteousness of God without law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And then he says in verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. One long sentence there, but in the midst of that sentence, in verse number 22 there, in light of what he's talking about salvation, where God declares us to be just. He's the justifier. He declares us to be just. He's the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It says in verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. We have this robe of righteousness, which is really the righteousness of God, that is placed on the believer. When we believe, God puts his righteousness on us, because as Isaiah said, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. But when we put our faith in Christ, he puts his righteousness on us, and now we're different. In fact, in Isaiah 61, I think it is. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Let me see if this is it. Isaiah 61, yeah, here it is. Isaiah 61, verse 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. And so there in Matthew chapter 22, I believe what we're talking about here is if we're truly belong to him, we're going to have his righteousness on us. We're going to have the robe of God's righteousness, the garments of salvation that's given to us by God. And if there's somebody that does not have God's righteousness on them, in other words, they're like the ones that said, Lord, Lord, and they talk about all the things they did in God's name, and he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you, because, well, they didn't have his righteousness.
What verse was that in Isaiah?
Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, that's the one where it says the garments of salvation, the robe of righteousness, and it likens them to wedding garments.
Okay, I'll look that up.
Yeah, it's a great passage, and you can compare that with our righteousnesses as filthy rags, and that's quite a contrast there, the filthy rags compared to the robe of righteousness, the wedding garments that are pictured there.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Oh, yes, thank you for the call there. And again, for those taking notes, Isaiah 64, verse 6 is the all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And yeah, you compare that with Romans 4:10 that says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. We cannot stand before God in our righteousness. It doesn't matter how righteous that we think that we are. If we don't have his righteousness on us, he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Doesn't matter how good you've been. Doesn't matter how much you've gone to church, how much you've given, how much you've sacrificed, how much you've suffered, how much you've done this, that, or the other. You'll be like those that said, Lord, Lord, haven't we? And then they name the things that they did, and he just simply says, depart from me, for I never knew you. And you can see that Matthew chapter 7. I'm trying to flip through things here real quick. Matthew chapter 7, where he says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then these sad words that Jesus makes and it gives in Matthew 7, verse 23, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There's a lot of people who are religious but lost. Religious but lost. Claim they're doing all sorts of things in God's name. This passage right here says that they're prophesying in his name. They're casting out devils in his name. They're doing wonderful works in his name, no doubt feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, housing the homeless, and giving to support the poor, and all these wonderful things that they're doing. But God says, you don't have my righteousness on you. You don't have the garments of salvation. Depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, how do we know him? We put our faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior. We throw ourselves upon his mercy. We confess that we've sinned. We don't deserve heaven, but we accept the gift that Jesus purchased on the cross with his own blood as he suffered and died and shed his blood to purchase our salvation. He was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. Call out to him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thanks for listening.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.